So Genesis 6 verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them in wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then verse 17 of chapter 7, And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Amen. And we know that God would bless his truth to all our hearts for his name's sake. And it has been wonderful to be sharing with you this past fortnight about all the various aspects of the gospel message that we've thought about together. We did that simply and honestly before you, encouraging you to see what Christ is available for you in Christ, and to see, of course, your absolute need of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we thought about all those things, and I'm sure, I'm perfectly sure, that wasn't the first time that you heard the gospel message. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you're still not saved, and we want to thank you for coming to the mission, because it's very difficult for somebody who's not yet saved to come to a gospel mission, because you know that the message is going to be directed towards you. And so we thank you for having the courage to come to the gospel meeting, to allow us not to preach at you, and I hope you don't feel we've been preaching at you, but to share with you, yeah, the good news of the gospel and the great things that Jesus Christ wants to do for you, and the wonderful salvation that is on offer through the precious blood shed on the cross of Calvary. But we've also been warning you too. And today, as we bring the mission to a close, we want to warn you again just about your passing opportunity to reach out and to touch the Lord. Because it could well be that here you are today, and maybe for years, you've heard the gospel, and you think that's just going to go on. And maybe your thought is today, whilst you're not saved yet, and yeah, you used to hear about it at Sunday school, and as you grew up as a young man, a young woman, and then you got married and you had the family, went to work and all the rest of it, and you've been building your life and living your life, and you've had all sorts of experiences of life, and all kinds of circumstances have happened to you, and you just think that this gospel thing is going to go on and on as well. But I want to finish today with a word of warning to you. As God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And there's a right time for you to get saved. And the time for you to get saved is when God is speaking to you. When God is speaking right into your life. That's the time to get saved. Because God warns that my spirit will not always strive with man. Three things as we close the service today then. First of all, the patience of God. The patience God exercised. Verse 3 says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. God was gracious to the people who were alive in Noah's day. And God had Noah as the old preacher. And Noah was preaching away. And Noah was encouraging the people to turn from their sin and to turn on to the Lord. And he was a faithful preacher. And he shared the message, seeking to encourage people to turn away from their sin, to turn on to the Lord before it was too late. And I know some people think, oh, that's the old ploy of the preacher, isn't it? Get you to start to think, you know, you'll not always get the chance. And you need to be in time. Life at best is very brief. But the fact of the matter is, all of us sitting in church today know about the uncertainty of life. And in the days of Noah, people were living away just as they always did. And yet God was so gracious to them and so patient with them. They had rejected God. They had rejected God's message. And even though Noah preached the message, look, turn to God, one day God will come and destroy the world. And yet still they wouldn't listen. And the fact is, I mean, we talk about and we preach about and we know it's certain because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again. And the Bible tells us that he'll come as a thief in the night. When we're least expecting him, Jesus will come. But even people can say, oh, well, sure, the church has been preaching that for 2,000 years, and he's still not here. So even if it's another 2,000 years, even if it's another 50 years, you reckon, well, I'll not be about when that happens anyway. And that's right, you'll not be about if it came in 50 years. But my friend, as we've been explaining to you during the course of the mission as well, you don't even know if tomorrow will be about. And God was gracious to these people because he said that he would give them 120 years. That's a fair length of time, isn't it? God was patient with them for 120 years. He gave them the opportunity to listen to the gospel preacher. And to turn to pray, to turn to be saved. I wonder how many years you've taken. In Noah's day, they got 120. How many years have you taken? What age are you today? It's a long time since you first were at Sunday school. It's a long time since you first heard the message of the gospel. And you've been thinking to yourself, possibly, you've been thinking to yourself, well, I can see there's something in that gospel. And some stage, someday, sometime, somewhere, before I exit this world, I will pay heed. I will respond. I will trust the Savior. But my friend today, whatever age you are, God has been so gracious and patient with you. If you're not saved this afternoon, what if you had have died last Sunday? Maybe some of you have been through illnesses. Maybe some of you have been through accidents or all kinds of things. And you survived. Maybe so. I don't know you. So maybe some of you survived against the odds. And when you think back to that time, if God hadn't have been patient with you and gracious to you, and you had have been taken then, well, then you would have been in a lost eternity today. But God has been good to you, and he spared your life. And here you are this afternoon with another opportunity to hear the gospel. Do you know, what it tells us in Genesis 6 is that even though God is long-suffering, even though God has got great patience and exercises great patience towards us, that patience is limited. It's limited. I wonder, have you been pushing God to the limit of his patience? From a child upwards, he's been moving. From a child upwards, he's been speaking. He's been bringing events into your life that made you think about eternal things. He's been bringing preachers into your life to make you think about eternal things. And you've been pushing God's patience right to the limit, because here you are this afternoon still holding out on him. Now, you could put it a nicer way than that, but that's what you're really doing. You're holding out on Christ. You're saying, no, Jesus, no. And you can put it a nicer way if you like. But every time you've been at a gospel meeting, every time God has spoken to you, every time you heard the invitation to come and you didn't respond, you said no to Jesus. And down through the years, he patiently has watched over you, kept you safe even to this very day. And here you are, the final meeting of a 2-week mission in the church. Do you know, I've met a lot of people over the years in ministry, and people who had pushed Christ to the very limit of his patience. I remember meeting a lady in hospital. I tried to speak to her about her soul salvation, but every time I went, there was always a nurse in the room, or there was always somebody in the room, and I couldn't get talking to her properly. She's had a heart attack. So I went up one night to discover that the doctor, she'd taken another heart attack when she was in hospital. She'd been rushed to theatre. I was there with the family when the doctor said to the family, "I don't think your mum will see the morning." And I couldn't get in to speak to her. And I went up early the next morning thinking maybe I could get in the morning time. And when I went in to see her in the morning, here she's sitting up in the bed as fresh as a daisy. And I started to speak to her about her soul salvation. And she said that she didn't feel that she needed to do that just at that time. And I explained to her, I said, you know, that God wants to save you. And she says, well, God has never spoken to me. If God had spoken to me, then I would have come. But God never spoke to me. I said, of course God has spoken to you. I said, you've had 4 heart attacks. And any one of those heart attacks could have taken you out into eternity. Of course God has spoken to you. Your family was brought together last night and they were told by the doctor, your mum won't see the morning. God's speaking to you. And I said, you need to get right with the Lord. She said, no. And more than that, for the next 3 days when I went in to visit her, she wouldn't speak to me. And she died the following day. I remember going down to speak to a wee woman in Coleraine, a church down there, and she'd got cancer, and she's a lovely wee woman, and I used to enjoy going to see her and have great chats with her and all the rest of it. She was taken into hospital, asked the minister, could I go to see her? He said, you can go, but she'll not recognize you. She's that far gone. I went down to see her and went into the ward, and she smiled. I said, do you know who I am? And she said, yes, she did. And I talked to her about ordinary things, and then I read the scriptures to her, and then I started to talk to her about being saved as I talked to her before. And whenever, as soon as I started to talk to that wee woman about getting saved, she turned around, she looked out the window, and she never looked at me again. She looked out the window. And I talked away, but she wouldn't answer me. And she wouldn't look at me. And when I finished talking to her about spiritual things, I said to her, will your husband be coming in to see you tonight, do you think? And immediately I stopped speaking to her about spiritual things. She looked round at me again. And she says, yes, he's coming in later on. She was dead the next day. And I don't tell you those stories to make up these stories as if to frighten you into, but you know the reality of that, that it could be you. And it's possible to push God to the very limit of his patience. And if you push God beyond the limit of his patience, then God walks away. God walks away. I wonder, my friend, as you think about your life, how often have you done the pushing? Be careful. Be careful. You don't push for the last time. Remember speaking to a man in Belfast. I was up in the church there. I'm like a gypsy. I'm everywhere. Up in Belfast speaking to this man. And then, because he was sort of connected to our church, but he never came. I went in to see him and I was talking to him. And he said, oh, I go to Belfast City Mission Hall every Sunday night. Oh, I says, then you'll be a saved man. And he started to cry. I says, no, I'm not. I said, you've been to Belfast City Mission Hall every Sunday night and you're not saved. No, and he says, I'll tell you why. I said, through his tears, I remember the last night God spoke to me in the mission hall. And he said, I said, no. God never spoke again. We're not scaring you the last day of the mission. We're bringing a dose of reality to you. That whilst God is patient with you, his patience is limited. And you can push him beyond the breaking point. Second thing is the punishment God imposed. The punishment God imposed. Verses 12 and 13. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Noah had warned the people. Noah had pleaded with the people to repent and to turn from their sin. Otherwise, something terrible would befall them. And imagine it, I mean, for the 120 years, Noah wasn't even just going around as a preacher, knocking doors or speaking to people or whatever. Noah was on a huge building project for those 120 years. God, as you know, had instructed Noah to build this ark. So imagine what that was like. I mean, you know, if somebody in new buildings started to build an ark tomorrow, you know, you would think to yourself, well, you know, there's obviously something wrong. They're mad. So Noah started to build the ark as God directed him to. And over that 120 years as he was building the ark, he was preaching repentance. And he was telling the people that one day God was going to destroy the earth. And one day God will destroy the earth again. But God was telling God would destroy the earth. And so he was building the ark. And can't you imagine his neighbours and his friends? They'll be all talking to each other. The way you do. And they'll talk about him. And they're talking about him. He says, you're nutter, isn't he? You're not case that no one knows a way off the rails. He knows crazy. Crazy. You know what he's doing? Building an ark. He thinks the world's going to come to an end. He thinks God's going to destroy the world. And can you imagine him going home from work or whatever? Here's Noah hammering away, making a wee bit more of the ark, and shouting, hey Noah, where's the rain? Because he wasn't even near water. Like he was building an ark in the middle of new buildings. There was no water. This was a head case. This was a nutter. And as they passed by, Noah, I'm sure, they made a laugh of him. And then it says in Genesis 8, verse 16, then the Lord shut the men, and the rain started to fall. Can you imagine the people again shouting, "Hey, Noah, Noah, it's only a wee shower. It's only a wee, it's going to take some water to lift the boat." And the rain continued to fall. And I'm sure at the start it was a big joke. It was a big laugh. But I'm sure as the water began to rise further and further, the laughing stopped. And I can imagine that as the water began to rise, that had been battering and banging on the side of the ark, shouting, "Noah, let us in! Noah, we're sorry! Tell God we're sorry! Noah, tell God we're sorry! Stop the rain! We'll not do it again! We'll turn away from our sin! We'll get right with God! Noah, let us in!" But that's why God shut the door. If Noah had to shut the door, he would open it again. Would you not open it if somebody was coming banging and banging and banging at your door, saying, "Sorry, let me in, let me in, let me in"? That's why God shut the door. See, God's a God of love, and we all like to think of that, and He is, but He's also a God of wrath. Sometimes we think God's a softy, and people think they can treat God whatever way they like. Oh, He's a God of love, but He's a God of wrath too. And we've got to remember both those things. When we look at Calvary, we see, yes, His wrath upon sin, but we see His love in providing a Savior. My friend, if you refuse to accept His love for you in Christ, then I'm sorry, but you are heading yourself and choosing that you're going to face Him then in His wrath. And the fact is, when the people could get into the ark, they wouldn't come. When the people wanted to come into the ark, they couldn't get in. What happens if you push God beyond His limit and beyond His patience with you? And that, you know, 120 years, well, you know, there's 10 years, 20 years, that's a long time. 30 years, 40 years, nothing has happened to us yet. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, nothing happened yet. 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 110 years, nothing happened yet. 117 years, 118 years, 119 years, nothing happened yet, Noah. Then it did happen. It was over. And they'd missed their opportunity. And they were lost. When they could come in, they wouldn't come in. When they wanted to come in, they couldn't get in. Because God was finished. That wee man in Belfast cried sore that day. He says, "God's finished with me." Don't put yourself in that. You're the only one who can put yourself in that position. Don't put yourself in that position. God's offering you the opportunity to come in. You're saying, "No, no. My spirit will not always strive with man." If God steps back off you, then even you wanted to, you couldn't come in. That's why, again, important to say, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And then the last thing is the provision God has made. The provision God has made. Genesis 1 verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark." God did not destroy all mankind, because the men were singing about His grace and His mercy. Grace, that is, I love that song. Grace that is greater than all our sin. And because of God's grace and because of His mercy, He didn't destroy the whole world. He saved 8 people. So in God's plan, where the earth had got so wicked that he was going to have to come and destroy it, in his mercy, in his love, in his grace, in the midst of his judgment, in the midst of his wrath, God saved 8 people. Many are called, Jesus said, but few are chosen. We thought about that the other night, didn't we, in the turnstile of salvation, or the broad road. Many are called, but very few come through the turnstile of salvation. Many are invited, but very few come through the turnstile of salvation. Most of the people on the lost road want to be on the lost road, stay on the lost road, and are lost. And yet there's no need for that, because God has made provision for us. When Jesus came, he said he came unto his own, and his own received him not yet. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. So God has made this great provision. In Noah's day, it was an ark. In our day, it's Christ his son. And God's saying, God's making this giving this invitation. God's giving this call out to the world. God is going to come. The world is going to disappear. The world is going to be destroyed. Time is going to be coming to an end. The world can't go on forever. The world won't go on forever. Your life won't go on forever. And even you don't see the destruction of the world, you're not going to make it yourself either, because outwardly we're decaying. Just look at these men and you'll understand. Outwardly we're decaying. We're getting older. We're getting done. The old body's going to pack it on someday. And it's only those who are in Christ will be saved. You know, if Jonathan had built a big boat out in his the car park this week, and we'd have been saying to people this week, come on into the boat. You want to see it? Get into the boat. I wonder would you still have went home just. Walk past the boat and say, see that Jonathan boy, like the last boy was here, never built a boat. He's some character, Jonathan building a boat. What do you want to get into the boat for? We're not asking you to get into the boat. We're asking you to come into Christ. In Noah's day, it was only those who were in the boat were saved. In our day, it's only those who are in Christ will be saved. Do you know, if we were saying to you, do you know, if you want to come to heaven, if you go and sign up a direct debit and pay in so much to New Buildings Independent Methodist Church, you get into heaven. You'd be away doing it tomorrow. Jonathan said to you, look, if you want to go to heaven, then you need to go out round the village and you need to day by day and you need to give away food and you need to show kindness. You'd be away doing it. We're not saying that. There's no salvation in doing those things. But if you want to be saved when your life comes to an end or this world comes to an end, then you need to be in Christ. Anybody who is in Christ will be saved. Anybody outside of Christ will not be saved. It's as simple as that. And you don't need brains, otherwise I couldn't work it out. But you can work it out. If you're not saved today, you're shut out of heaven. And the only way you can get into heaven is through the way that God has provided, justified by his blood. You know, if it was possible to be saved any other way, do you honestly think that God would put Jesus Christ through what he went through at Calvary? Do you think if your sin was easy to rub out, that Jesus would have had to give up the splendor and majesty and worship of glory and come to this world and let people spit on him and batter him till he didn't even look human? Do you think that if your sin could be easily dealt with, that Jesus would have had to do all that? Of course not. God has provided the means for you to be saved. It's not an ark, it's a person. Jesus Christ. And my friend, refuse him. You shut the door on yourself. There's a hymn that these boys sing, and I always loved it, and it always touched my heart, and I was saved. But when the Male Voice Festival came to Ebrington, there's one song I love to hear those men sing. It's a song entitled God's Final Call. It says, if you reject God's final call of grace, you'll have no chance your footsteps to retrace. All hope will then be gone and doom you'll face. God's final call. God's final call. See, it's really no odds if you're in the airport and they're calling out your flight number and you think to yourself, well, I want to get a cup of coffee or I want to do something else, and you miss your flight. It's no real big odds. You can get another plane. But if you miss God's final call for salvation, you're finished. If you miss God's final call for salvation, you can't go back. The door's shut. And you're out. And you're out to stay. We're not trying to frighten you to become a Christian. We've just been telling you the story of the gospel. It'd be nicer if we could focus on the love bit of it, wouldn't it? It'd be nicer if we could have just continually focused on His grace, wouldn't it? But we've only been telling you half the story. So what if? What if this afternoon is God's final call of grace? Is it worth saying no? Is it worth taking a chance? Is it worth going out of the church just hoping that there will be another day? There will be another opportunity. God will just continue on with you as He's done in the past. My friend, He might. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying He might. But what I'm saying to you is, what if He doesn't? Door shut. And you're out. Is it worth refusing to come to Christ for whatever reason? You're still not saved. I'm sure you can give a reason for that. But you answer me this as this meeting's going to finish. The mission's going to finish. Is what has kept you back from getting saved, is it worth going to hell for? Is it worth going to hell for? Let me answer the question for you then. No, it's not. And I don't care what your reason is. It's not a reason. It's only an excuse. So don't let an excuse keep you out of heaven. Take you to lost eternity. Let's pray. And as we're bowed together, maybe you've been with us off and on in the fortnight and God has spoken to you. Maybe you've been in here and Jonathan, you've been spoken to through Jonathan's preaching so often before, troubled about yourself and concerned about yourself. And over the fortnight, yeah, Jonathan and the leaders here, they've held this mission because they love you. And I don't want to think that anybody in new buildings is going to go to a lost eternity. Those many people in new buildings didn't even come in to hear, but you did. And we're so thankful to you for coming in to hear. But now that you've heard, you can't go out and just be the same. You can't just go out and forget about the mission. You just can't go out and forget what you've heard this afternoon. That's what the devil would like you to do. So maybe before we sing a verse of a hymn and go, maybe you would like the opportunity to get right with Christ. Just right now. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, it's simply in prayer before the Lord. And I'm going to invite you to follow. I'm going to pray just the old sinner's prayer. My friend, if you're not in the ark, if you aren't in Christ, you know you're headed for a lost eternity that we thought about on Friday night. And you'll face the judgment that we thought about on Thursday night. If this is God's final call, your final opportunity to get right with Him, oh, are you going to miss it? Are you going to push Him away with the possibility that you never, ever will get saved? So if He's spoken to you, come on to Jesus. You pray just quietly in your own heart. There's no magic. These aren't magic words now. It's just a simple prayer. We're just helping you. So if you need to get right with the Lord, why don't you pray with us now, just quietly in your own heart. Lord Jesus, thank You that You've spared me to this day. Because if I had of died before this, I would have been in a lost eternity. Thank You that You've watched over me. Thank You that You've been patient with me. Thank You, God, that today You have given me the opportunity to come into Christ and to be saved. And Lord, I want to do that. I confess my sin to You. I'm a sinner. I'm asking You to wash my sin in the precious blood of Christ. To take it, to cleanse me, to remove it, to blot it out as far as the east is from the west. Lord Jesus, I'm asking You to come into my heart, to be my Savior, to give me the gift of eternal life, and help me to know today that I am Your child, saved, and on my way home to heaven. Father, thank You for all we've shared in this fortnight. Thank You for the honor and the privilege to have been here. Thank You for Jonathan and Pauline and Susanna and Jake. Lord, bless them as they seek to continue on to be faithful to You in this place. Give them much fruit for their labors, we pray. And just guard them and guide them and protect them and use them in a mighty way in the days that lie ahead. Thank You for Your own people that have been so good in supporting the meetings. Lord, just thrill them again. I believe You've done that night by night. Just been thrilled in their own heart that they're Yours, that they're saved, belong to Christ. Father, thank You for those who have not been saved and yet they've come into the meetings. And here they are, maybe some of them again this afternoon. Thank You for each and every one of them. Thank You that You've spared them to this day. Thank You, Lord, we believe You've spoken to them so clearly over their lifetime. And now again, today, oh God, we pray, help them to give up the fight. Help them to stop resisting. Help them to stop pushing you away. Bring them onto yourself today, we pray. And wonderfully and gloriously save them for time and also for eternity. For Jesus' sake. Amen. If you have trusted Christ, why don't you tell your pastor? I know there'd be no happier man in New Buildings than if you shared with Jonathan that even you gave your heart to the Lord today. If you're still not sure and you're still troubled, please don't go home. I know Jonathan would absolutely love to talk to you and just show you how you can get saved today. So if you have any doubts or queries, don't go home. Speak to Jonathan and give him the joy of leading you to Christ before you go. Again, thank you for the honour and the joy and the privilege of being with you. And should we never meet this side of glory, I trust, I've got to know your faces. I trust that we'll all will be able to meet up one day in heaven, saved by his precious blood. Let's sing a hymn. As we go, just a verse and a chorus then. 314, O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. O turn while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour bright, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over that deadline even tonight. Don't drift over that deadline without Christ. Let's stand. 314 and just the first verse.